Chapter 4, Tuesday Night. Tuesday night, All Might was back with a kitten and a carrier. Aizawa mentally pumped his fist, but skillfully subsumed the enthusiasm into setting up another temporary juice box bed for the kitten. He shouldn't have bothered. The thing was attached to Toshinori and wouldn't stop flouncing around his legs, chasing his irresponsibly long pant legs whenever he so much as twitched. For the first 30 minutes of their visit, it was all deep, easy chuckles and high, sweet meows, as the two played instead of grated. Aizawa was very distracted and even a little jealous that the kitten had given her loyalty away so freely. He demanded a recount. "I've decided on a name," Toshinori announced, grinning from ear to ear as he dangled a bit of string back and forth over his shoes, watching her scramble for it. Kittens with names don't usually find their way to the adoption center, Aizawa said flatly as he made a cup of coffee for himself, knowing exactly where this was going. That was how you got cats. That was how cats happened. And he, for his part, had accepted it. Within the past 24 hours, since ordering All Might to get a carrier, Aizawa Shota had made an executive decision. The kitten would be his within a week, and they would be best friends, and his apartment complex could go suck a dick. In the meantime, he was going to shut up and see how long it would take for All Might to realize she was a girl, or ask for help, or reach the point where all bets were off and he needed rescuing from himself, at which point he would swoop in and give Toshinori an out. A smug out, but an out. The man did everything he could for those he cared about, but the problem was he also didn't think in his rush to provide, and cats required a hell of a lot of thought. Himawari. Sunflower? Aizawa frowned, just barely registering the name. He looked over his shoulder. The kitten was now clamoring over Toshinori's lap and batting at his tie. You found him in the rain. Even sunflowers need rain, Toshinori said, scratching her on her hindquarters and eliciting an appreciative murr. Oh, look how he shines. What a beautiful boy he is. Aizawa thought of all the things he could say. You're stupid. You're a fucking idiot. Stop that. Ugh. What are you doing? Stop being like that. But his throat was welded shut, so he just grunted, going on about his business brewing coffee. You're going to end up keeping the cat. No, I'm not, Toshinori said firmly. He hoisted Himawari to his chest protectively. Like that proved anything. I'm going to get him back on his feet and then adopt him out through the school. He deserves to know he's safe before he's passed off to a new family. Aizawa rolled his eyes. Such a fucking idiot. As if he couldn't see the man's heartstrings wrapped around the little kitten's paws already. Cup of coffee in hand, Aizawa joined the absolutely delusional man on the couch, and together they began to grade, with Himawari winding around their feet. It was oddly calming and at least a degree more comfortable than last time, which was already pretty comfortable. Maybe it was just his imagination or the kitten effect, but Aizawa felt a slight smile tug at his mouth as he did the note work of proofing multiple choice quizzes. Could we talk about our arrangement? Aizawa's hand stopped on Sero's quiz, midway through circling the fourth wrong answer in a row. Toshinori hadn't even stuttered. Aizawa was sort of impressed. His co-worker had obviously had some time to think about it. Maybe he'd liked that last kiss a little too much not to put some serious thought into it, he mused, smirking inwardly. Of course, Aizawa said evenly, resuming his grading without looking up. What would you like to talk about? So, are there any rules, any generally accepted laws, that I should know about, I mean? I really didn't mean to imply anything insulting about you and Midnight Sensei. I'm just out of my depth here. I guess you must have realized that. Huh. Aizawa waved a hand, annoyed enough by his own reaction that night to not want an apology in the slightest. He thought for a moment, trying to phrase it in such a way that a layman could understand, all the while thinking it was impressive how quickly All Might tracked the potential in their generally vague discussion the previous night. He was a bit serious about this. He'd put some thought in. It was interesting. Do you remember how you felt when you were fully suspended and you couldn't really think or worry about much? Yes, it was incredible. Toshinori looked like he wanted to say something more, maybe describe it, but in the end all he could do was nod. It was all the proof necessary to know he had really made it that deep, honestly. Anything done in that headspace is called a scene. Within a scene, there's a premise or a goal, which the dominant and submissive play out until either of them decide they're done. Pretty simple. Is there any... Toshinori gathered his thoughts by clicking his pen in and out, clearly nervous. I mean, I thought there was a lot of master and verbal degradation and other things. Not necessarily. It depends on what gets you into the headspace. I'm not into that particular thing, personally, but that doesn't mean you can't be. That was a whole other can of worms, and it was too early yet to explain degradation kink in a way that Toshinori wouldn't try to cram blindly into his essential grasp of the concept as a whole. While it might have been selfish, Aizawa really, really did not want Toshinori awkwardly and loudly calling him master just because he thought he had to. Nope. Nope, nope, nope. And you're dominant? A dominant? That's what you do? I do both. I need both. For dealing with different things, Aizawa said, deciding to put his grating aside for this particular part. He crossed a leg and looked over to find Toshinori, hands in his lap, rapt at attention. He gathered his thoughts, not used to having an audience. I exclusively sub for Nemuri because that's the way our relationship works. It doesn't mean that dynamic is on all the time, or describes our relationship at large. But when we do arrange a scene, that's how it goes. That's what works for us and what we need. And a lot of people do use roles as identities. But for other people, a role is something you play and choose. Ugh, how does that work? It all depends on how you feel and what you want at that moment. And it doesn't always align with what you do physically. You can bottom from the top and top from the bottom, and so forth. So you're never trapped into one distinct act or expectation. Aizawa shrugged. That's what I appreciate about it, because you can always find a way to do what you need to do, and you can choose how to do it, maximizing pleasure and minimizing discomfort or concepts that may be dangerous for you. It's supremely rational and stripped of stigma, yet utilizes the emotional connotations of our established social mores in order to facilitate scenes that each individual needs to experience in order to purge or process difficult experiences. Or just have really good sex. Wow. Aizawa glanced over. Toshinori's mind was clearly blown, judging by the look on his face. It was in a good way, or a learning way. But Aizawa just realized he'd talked more than he had in a week, probably, and didn't know how he felt about that. He fast saw the rabbit hole extending anyway, so he backtracked and decided to break it down in an easy way. Easier way. The way I look at it, there are only three things you need to know. One, nobody does anything they don't want to do. Two, the sub is in control the whole time. No exceptions. Three, if you play dominant, you take aftercare very seriously to help the sub reintegrate their mind and body after the scene. That's your fucking job. Oh, I see. All Might's brows lowered, suddenly very serious at this new piece of information. So Aizawa reached over and tapped him on the nose with his pen. And 4, don't think about it too hard. See rule number 1. Yes, sensei. Toshinori demurred, rubbing at the back of his neck. Aizawa gave him a tired look. You're really going to have to tell me if you're into that, because you keep hinting. Joking! I keep joking! The older hero protested, waving his hands. Oh my! I don't think I could ask you to be a teacher for a moment longer than you already are. Me, either, really. Thank God, Aizawa grumbled. Then, feeling it, pitched over and laid his head on Toshinori's leg. Grading, for instance, was hardly sexy and exciting. Damn, I'm exhausted just thinking about it. A pause. He felt a hand rustle nearby, touching his hair, but not. Polite, restrained, despite the clear signaling. Are the, restraints always necessary? Came Toshinori's question, as if on cue. Aizawa shrugged. I don't see a need for a strict contract. We can do whatever you want to do. So long as we both want to. Toshinori finished, looking down and blasting him with a proud smile. From this angle, with his hair everywhere and the indulgent look on his face, he looked like the fucking sun. And Aizawa almost squinted. Gold star, he said instead, around the pen in his mouth, patting his arm. Toshinori's smile became mischievous, and he leaned back into Aizawa's field of vision, brows high. Wait, are you sure you're not into that? Blink twice if you are. It's okay, you can tell me. Shut up and grade. We have a deadline, and it doesn't include your jokes. Apparently, their deadline included cats, however, because a second later, Aizawa had flipped on his stomach, lengthwise on the couch, and was cuddling Himawari indulgently, leaving Toshinori to grade and think about a lot. In his book, Aizawa was now the smartest man in the universe. He was really very impressed. He was also in shock. Just a tiny, little, itty-bitty bit of a shock. And while he was still getting used to it, he actually liked the straightforward way he could speak with his co-teacher about what they expected from each other, clearly drawing lines with respect and reason. Everything was a bit overwhelming, and he had no idea what half of this world looked like. But of all the things they'd talked about, Toshinori hoped he had drawn one particular line clearly enough, that of emotions. The older hero sat back and stared blankly at the quiz in front of him, a little tired. He couldn't get involved. Not like that. He could count on Aizawa to be honest with him, as well as probably effortlessly uninvolved. From what he'd seen already, the man was the furthest thing from a romantic. Maybe it was a little deceitful of him to be so simple. Like it was just a preference for not getting romantically entangled. It wasn't because Toshinori was old or busy. Not quite. There would come a time when he would have to give the last of himself. He knew that, and he wanted the least amount of collateral damage when it happened. That's why he couldn't be with anyone. And he already had an awful track record with divulging the hard reality of his situation. He couldn't even tell Midoriya, no matter how many times he had steeled himself to be honest with the boy, just because he was too much of a coward to break his heart. There were a lot of things he couldn't do right now, and falling in love was one of them. It just couldn't happen. If anything, he thought with a sudden realization, Aizawa would be the one to understand and perhaps even defend his rational choice when it finally came. Unbidden, an image came to him. Aizawa holding the boy back with his entire knotted, black-clad body, their faces bloodied. Midoriya reaching past him and screaming in something like grief. Toshinori twitched and sighed into his hand, shaking free of the waking nightmare. His imagination had always bordered on the gruesome, which was generally why he jumped into action before he thought about anything too hard. Then he had a thought, a checkpoint that had become rote at this point in his unlife. Would this arrangement with Aizawa increase the burden of his departure? He snorted almost immediately. Who was he, assuming Aizawa could develop any sort of feelings for him? Besides the physical kind, he thought with a little surge of dual pleasure and alarm. What could a little kissing hurt? A little fun while he was still here. They were adults. Toshinori settled down to the last of his job with a sigh. Steady scratch of his pen interrupted when Aizawa looked up at him once or twice. They were long, lingering looks, and his skin tingled eagerly, like a call-and-response game. Finally, All Might gulped and set down his last page. At their feet, Himawari snoozed gently, tail flicking. "Done," he said, not particularly wanting to be. "Me too." Aizawa threw down a page, three pages, that didn't look done, but then sat up and grinned. Actually, literally grinned, and the wolfish look stopped Toshinori's breath in his throat. "Wanna make out?" Toshinori covered his mouth. Yes, he whispered. Then, stronger, firmer, calling upon the power of consent for all, which made him smack his fist into his palm and maybe even squeeze his butt cheeks. "Yes, that is absolutely a thing I want to do. With you. Right now." "Okay," Aizawa agreed, with a ghost of a laugh, clearly enjoying his reaction. Toshinori did not mind being enjoyed. At all. It even emboldened him to be the one to reach forward and cup Aizawa's knee, taking a breath before leaning down and brushing his lips over the scruff on the side of the younger hero's mouth. Aizawa didn't rush him, but allowed him to find his way to a decent kiss at his own pace, although it was clear the underground hero's lips were dying to twitch into a smile as he leaned into the chaste touch. Toshinori put a finger to his partner's chin, pressing their mouths together at a warm, easy angle, and the kiss instantly deepened. Just the sound of Aizawa breathing in sharply as he pressed back was enough to electrify Toshinori's body in his oversized suit, and they fell into each other, trading slow, shifting kisses in the quiet of the apartment. Hands on knees and arms and thighs, each grip closer and tighter than the last. Toshinori's body responded with stunning speed, faster than thought, and he moaned faintly into the other hero's mouth when they so much as parted for air. He instantly flinched away, mildly embarrassed at his own eagerness, but Aizawa caught his face in his hand. He doubled down on the shameful reaction and kept his eyes shut, like the blindfold, but the man's voice was surprisingly soft. "Don't judge yourself so quickly. This is to have fun and feel things, not police your own reactions in line with some weird societal standard. Just do what you need to do, or what you want to do. These walls aren't soundproofed, but my neighbors are dicks, so if you need to scream, I'll consider it a bonus, okay?" Eyes still closed, Toshinori nodded, breathing out shakily. God, he hoped he wouldn't have to scream. Not yet, anyway. And then Aizawa's mouth was on his neck, and he grunted, pulling him back up for more wet, close kisses. Aizawa wasted no time and straddled him in one fluid motion. Their position suddenly switched as Toshinori craned up to keep it all going, his ability to make out severely hindered by the stupid grin that wouldn't leave his face as he kissed and tugged and pressed. The complex, flexible weight of the younger hero on his lap was exciting, as well as the hands on his neck. He pulled Aizawa's lean, hard body closer, rubbing and gripping his waist and back and straining up with his hips to get any little bit of friction against the heat of his very sudden, very intense erection. He didn't realize he was digging his fingers in a little too much until Aizawa bucked in his grip, breaking their kiss. Shit, okay, number one hero. He hissed, pushing his shoulder back and giving him a tolerating look. He gestured to the jigsaw of their groins. "I'm not a villain trying to get away. Ease up." "Sorry," Toshinori hiccuped, self-consciously, cupping his forehead. Aizawa pushed the offending hand down, locking their fingers, and kissed him flat to the back of the couch, All Might's brows rising blissfully high. Aizawa's prowess with touching and grabbing and pushing was pristine, captivating even without his reins. Toshinori was putty and glad to be, as the flexible, confident man kissed him and kissed him until they both fell over, panting into each other's mouths, and Toshinori was treated to the purely delicious sight of Aizawa's hair falling around his flushed face, weak light of his lamp haloed above him. He reached up and gingerly touched the younger hero's cheek, then scrubbed a thumb through his stubble and slid his fingers into the thick, messy hair, taking only a moment to look down at the foot of the couch, definitely checking if Himawari was still asleep. Aizawa leaned into it all lazily, shoulders shifting, the embodiment of liquid enjoyment. He took what was offered without an ounce of hesitation or shame, and that was a skill set Toshinori envied deeply. After a moment, Aizawa's hand drifted down to waist level, but his fingers didn't so much as get a grip on Toshinori's trousers before the older hero gently wrapped his wrist in his big palm. Aizawa's eyes found his, and there was a question in his careful expression. The younger hero's hand was motionless, slack. This is it, Toshinori thought. What he had wanted to do since that first night. Do what you need to do, or what you want to do. He heard again. The loudest part of him just needed proof. Needed to confirm that Aizawa was really, actually aroused and into this. Into him. Like this. Especially before the other man touched him again with intent to pleasure. May I... Toshinori swallowed his anxiety with some difficulty. It was nerve-wracking having those dark, curious eyes on him. Can I touch you? Sure, Aizawa said after a beat, withdrawing his hand. Toshinori let him go and flexed his fingers, hesitant. He tried not to react to the world like it was cold or neutral. If Aizawa wanted something, he said so. No blurred lines here. Now, how to show him that he wanted this as well? He carefully slid his hands down Aizawa's front, over his soft, worn black shirt, then caressed the first lick of warm skin at his waist and lower. The feeling of his erection through the fabric was worthy of obsession. The heat, the way it pressed into his palm at the lightest touch. He pressed a little too hard, whispered an apology, remembering how he'd just crushed them together. Could he be any more bumbling? I'm not, he began and ended, breathless. I'm not used to this. I'm not used to touching people, Toshinori wanted to say. Not in any nice way, at least. You're not off to a bad start, Aizawa finished quietly. Toshinori smiled shyly, chuckling, wondering how on earth Aizawa managed to hide such a supportive heart under all that gruffness. This was a privileged view of the man that few understood, and Toshinori considered himself insanely privileged. Determined, he pressed again with his fingertips, his palm rubbing softly over the hard heat, then fumbled for the nearest fastenings. The loose pants came off easily, and he held his breath. Can I kiss you now, or would that distract you? Aizawa asked in low tones, fingers tracing over his chest. Yes. Yes, what? Aizawa murmured against his cheek, sending tingles down Toshinori's overheated body. Please kiss me, he said faintly, eyes fluttering shut. I would like that very much. It was in that kiss that Toshinori's hand met skin, and he shifted his grip carefully over the length of the younger hero's naked cock, squeezing and feeling, other hand braced on Aizawa's side for leverage. Is this okay? He asked breathlessly, adrift. A little harder, Aizawa murmured. All Might felt a flicker of apprehension and disappointment as Aizawa reached down and took his wrist. Here. It wasn't disappointing at all. Aizawa took his hand in his own and licked a close, languid stripe over Toshinori's open palm, spitting into his hand, and then, as a parting shot, nipped the pad of his thumb and guided his hand back over to his cock. He exhaled hot and close into Toshinori's mouth when the older man's hand wrapped around his girth, now slippery. Tingles dissolving his entire body, Toshinori reminded himself to breathe. He tightened his hand and worked steadily, wrapped up in the heat and hardness of the younger hero's cock against his palm. Aizawa started breathing unevenly. His hands were clenched into the couch, incrementally tighter and tighter, and Toshinori watched all of it with a hunger he didn't quite understand. Brave, Toshinori jostled himself up to his elbow and kissed him, rewarded with a deep groan and the feeling of Aizawa bucking his hips into his slick hand. Breath catching, he quickened, making sure to rub his thumb over the sticky tip every time. It was outrageously different, yet familiar, and seeing and feeling the tension build in Aizawa's bent body, with all the small noises, was exhilarating.
Toshinori,
Aizawa whispered after a few minutes. He shifted his weight back and made to pull away, one hand on the tie and shirt at risk. I'm gonna... Toshinori pulled him back down curtly, staring into his stunned face. I want you to, he said, realizing it as he said it. Aizawa tried to smirk, but it was too close. The younger hero grunted, lean body tightening visibly as he came, all over Toshinori's hand, dress shirt and tie. Toshinori kept pumping with his fist dripping in cum, wanting the electric moment to last. But Aizawa's hand slapped down on his and made him stop. He shook his head sharply, hips twitching one last time. Then he dropped to his elbows, face in the crook of Toshinori's hot neck, and heaved in breath after breath in a way that made Toshinori extremely happy. Pretty good for a first try. Already he wanted to try again. Maybe with his mouth? He reached up with his free, clean hand and gripped into Aizawa's long, dark hair, not even feeling his own fingers shake as he tugged. On the shirt and tie? Aizawa huffed after a moment, leaning into the intention. His eyes were lidded, and maybe Toshinori imagined just a hint of lusty red in their depths. You're a dirtier old man than I realized. I don't know. Toshinori laughed, face hot, as confused by his sudden want as his partner. It just sounded good at the time, and he knew from the tone that Aizawa wasn't chastising him. He wanted something messy for some reason, something real. Something he couldn't walk home in, apparently, but that was a realization for a moment when he wasn't delighting in the rakish angle of Aizawa's smirk or the softness of his hair. He felt amazing. He even smelled amazing. Somewhere, in the back of his mind, Toshinori was more worried that Aizawa would reach for him or his erection the moment it was over. This was just something he wanted to do, but he would have difficulty expressing that if asked. It didn't always have to be one for one. Though a little late in the game for such vital epiphanies, the world's number one hero was just now discovering that there were two different kinds of excitement, not all of which had to end in orgasm like a straight line. The two heroes gradually straightened from their romp, with minor cleanup where necessary to prevent insult to the couch. Aizawa was all jelly, moving slow and satisfied, refastening his pants and making it no further than to the other side of the couch before he laid down again, groaning faintly and sprawling out, limbs and hair everywhere. Toshinori stood after a moment, clearing his throat. He tried to shake the feeling back into his legs, but his rude erection seemed intent on hoarding every bit of feeling he had in his long body. So he squinted and tapped his foot and waited. What was that? Did that count as a scene? Who was dominant? Did it switch halfway through? How could he tell? Was he thinking too hard? Did this need aftercare? If Aizawa needed something, he'd let him know, right? Right. I'm going to take a shower. To cool down, Toshinori said slowly, realizing halfway through that he was inviting himself into someone's shower. Aizawa just grunted, unmoving. Really, he was completely motionless, almost to an alarming extent. He was alive, right? Toshinori hesitated for a moment, looking down at his co-teacher until he actually saw the man's chest rise with a shudder. Right. Definitely alive. It was hard to tell with this one. He wasn't going to give himself that much credit so early, anyway. Like he was actually responsible for laying the younger hero out flat like that. Toshinori spared his sticky hand a glance before hurrying himself into the unexplored depths of Aizawa's apartment and nipping into the shower. It was a normal shower, a normal apartment, the dual hair and body wash tucked into the shower caddy, economy size, eked a smile out of him. Of course, efficient as always. Curious, Toshinori checked the back as he squeezed some out into his hand. Fifth ingredient, tea tree oil. That was the scent. He tried to distract himself by invading Aizawa's personal effects. He really did. But eventually it became obvious that cooling down wasn't an option. So carefully biting down on his forearm to stay silent, Toshinori stroked himself into a stupor, tasting salt and shamelessly reliving what had just happened in vivid tones, hearing Aizawa's low moans in his ear again. Breathing heavily, he abruptly staggered against the wall of the shower as he finished hard enough to make his head spin, body demanding a less vertical position, what with all the annoying changes in blood flow and oxygenation. That's where Aizawa found him, crouched low in the shower and just experiencing the cooled water misting his face. Aizawa evidently had a very small hot water tank, or maybe he just liked his showers ridiculously hot. Toshinori was too absorbed to even cover his torso when the door swung open and he felt a foot jabbing him in the leg. Hey, move, my turn. Embarrassment flared, delayed, and he lassoed his tingling limbs, first and foremost blocking his scar. The two hazily exchanged places, and Toshinori hurried outside with a towel to find Himawari looking at him disappointedly in the hall. Behind him, Aizawa cursed his guts through the door for draining the hot water. My apologies, Himawari, he flustered, glancing back at the shower and pulling the towel a little higher. Am I, late with your dinner? Toshinori hurriedly slung his enormous clothes back on, stepping into his pants and taking a minute to grimace at the dirty shirt before, left with no other options, he pulled that on too. He buttoned it far enough to cover his side and went about fixing Himawari her dinner, as the sounds of Aizawa showering faded out in the small apartment. He took a bit longer to prepare the cat food than usual, maybe because he was thinking about what Aizawa would look like naked and covered in water. Looking down at an insistent mew, Toshinori imagined that the kitten gave him a reproachful look, but his feline charge quickly became engrossed in the plate of food Toshinori set in front of him, so the pressure was off. He sighed. Ugh, no. Aizawa's voice came from behind him, sharp. Toshinori turned and almost tripped on air. The younger man was striding towards him, shirtless, with a mildly disgusted look on his freshly shaven face. A pair of sagging, shockingly pink sweatpants only barely clung to his hard hip lines, looking like they could be stared down to the floor. Just in case, Toshinori stared. That's... damn it, hold on. Aizawa turned on a dime and ducked out of the kitchen into what Toshinori assumed was his bedroom. Leaning against the counter, Toshinori coughed hard. He pounded at his chest, absolutely uncomprehending of what was raging in his body, especially after he had just... Had he ever been this attracted to someone? It was impossible to compare. From left field, Aizawa reappeared and chucked a piece of clothing at him. which he only barely caught. Toshinori uncrumpled it. A black shirt with some sort of logo on for a local bar. Knowing Aizawa, he probably got it for free and didn't care where it was from. Or it was one of the many places he and his carousing teacher gang had been banned from. Either or. Wear that. I have to do laundry anyway. I'll throw your shirt in. Eyes pinned on the cat, giving no indication that he'd heard other than an interested noise, Toshinori waited until Aizawa left the room again, before gingerly peeling off the admittedly sticky button-down and pulling on the soft black t-shirt. It smelled like detergent and something close and human. He curiously smoothed it over his chest and shoulders, enjoying it and a little buzzed from the entire experience. All of it, including those pants. "What do you know? It almost fits," Aizawa said with a roll of his eyes, regrettably returning with his own baggy black t-shirt on. Snapping out of it, the older hero chuckled miserably, wasted arms crossing automatically over his front. "You know my situation is a little less concerned with fashion than function. You swim in those shirts and trip in those pants," the homeroom teacher pressed, expression unamused as he picked up Toshinori's dirty shirt and tie, ignoring the older hero's protest. "If anything bad happened that didn't require you to transform, or God forbid you couldn't, you'd be grabbed up in a second, or even tripped to death. Why wear clothes that only fit for 1 hour a day? Fucking exhausting." It wasn't meant to be harsh, but a little bit of Toshinori hurt, hearing that, remembering that. But then he sighed and looked down at the light cling of the shirt on his chest. Maybe he could start thinking about some clothes that fit his true form. On days... what? On days when he knew the world wouldn't need saving? He closed his eyes, wincing. It would always need saving. The question was how much longer he would be the one doing it. "Hey, stop. Don't go there," Aizawa said brusquely, flicking his shoulder. He opened his eyes. Aizawa was firmly in his personal space, hip against the counter, with a mug steaming in his hand. His simple ease was something that Toshinori wanted to reach out and dig his hands into. It was so sleepy and velvety. "Do you want some coffee?" "Too late for me, thank you," he demurred, waving his hand. Wasn't that his second cup of the night? Aizawa shrugged, taking a sip. "Thanks for the handjob." Toshinori spat blood into his hand, but quickly smothered the volley of coughs that followed. You're very welcome," he said automatically, like he'd loaned Aizawa a cup of sugar. Unless he was entirely wrong, he was dying of the heat in his face. What were they doing again? Having fun, according to the playful arch of Aizawa's brow. A nod and he went, presumably to do the laundry. Toshinori stood by the counter in a daze for a minute, fingers pulling absently at his shirt. Aizawa's shirt. After a bit of deliberation, feeling out the lines of their arrangement, he made the decision to walk home and allow his co-teacher to do laundry in his own time. He would collect the shirt at a later date. It was a valiant plan. Toshinori accidentally forgot the t-shirt at his apartment the next day, but Himawari found it and took to sleeping on it, so he really couldn't bear to take it from him. He explained this to a very amused Aizawa over the break in the teacher's lounge, who clearly liked the idea. Whether that the shirt was now his or Himawari's, he wasn't sure. What was he personally sure of? He was sure he liked this. A lot.